Today we're going to continue in our lessons in the Bible correspondence course. Last time we talked about the section on the Father, and today we're going to do part two of that section, speaking about the Father. And to reiterate our purpose in providing this series, we want to help you discover what Scripture teaches from the perspective of the people who were chosen by Yahweh to preserve His truths in the language that He created, Hebrew. The basic principles examined can be found in our Fundamentals of Faith mini-study, and we believe that this course provides an accurate understanding of scriptural truth and that its words were written for our instruction and enlightenment. When we begin to grasp the Scripture's amazing intricacies and to unfold its mysteries, Bible study becomes a joy. So we suggest you follow the directions for the Bible study portion that you can receive by contacting us before returning your answers to the test to YAIY. And we certainly hope that your study would be informative and long-lasting. The section of our study on the Father is broken up into numbers. We covered from 1 to 6 last time, and today we begin with number 7. In 1 Kings 18, 17 through 39, we read about a contest between Ahab and along with the prophets of Baal and the groves, and Eliah along with Yahweh, who won the contest, who was able to call on their mighty one and have the offering burned up. Note, this historical event clearly demonstrates that calling upon the name of any deity other than Yahweh will not provide the help requested. 1 Kings 18, verses 17 through 19. Then it happened when Ahab saw Eliah, that Ahab said to him, "Is that you, O troubler of Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of Yahweh and have followed the Baals." When we translate the word Baal into English, it is the word Lord. "Now therefore," verse 19, "send and gather all Israel," this is Eliah speaking, "to me on Mount Carmel, and 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." Verses 20 through 22. "So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Eliah came to all the people and said, 'How long will you falter between two opinions? If Yahweh is the Elohim, follow him. But if Baal, follow him.' But the people answered him not a word. Then Eliah said to the people, 'I alone am left a prophet of Yahweh, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. 23 and 24. Therefore, let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves. Cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then you will call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of Yahweh. And the Elohim who answers by fire, he is Elohim.' So all the people answered and said, 'It is well spoken.'" Verses 25 and 26. "Now Eliah said to the prophets of Baal, 'Choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it.' So they took the bull which was given to them, and they prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning till noon, saying, 'O Baal, hear us.' But there was no voice, No one answered. Then they leaped about the altar which they had made. And so it was, in verses 27 to 29, at noon that Eliab mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, for he is a god." In the Hebrew, that is the word Elohim, small e. Either he is meditating, these gods that these other people are worshiping, or he is busy, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened. So they cried aloud and cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances, until the blood gushed out of them. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. 33-32. Then Eliab said to all the people, "Come near me, come near to me." So all the people came near to him, and he required the altar of Yahweh that was broken down. He repaired the altar of Yahweh that was broken down. And Eliab took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of Yahweh had come, saying, "Israel shall be your name." Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of Yahweh, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood, and said, "Fill 4 water pots with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." Then he said, "Do it a second time," and they did it a second time. And he said, "Do it a third time," and they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. Verses 36 and 37. And it came to pass at that time, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Eliah the prophet came near and said, "Yahweh Elohi of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are Elohim in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Yahweh, hear me, that this people may know that you are Yahweh Elohim, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again." Verses 38 and 39. Then the fire of Yahweh fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, "Yahweh, he is Elohim. Yahweh, he is Elohim." And section 8. In the King James Version of the Bible, the English phrase, "in the name of the Lord," L-O-R-D in all caps, appears some 88 times. Not just the name, but the phrase, "in the name of Yahweh." The words, "the Lord," L-O-R-D in all caps, should have been properly translated Yahweh. But adhering to a tradition of the Pharisees and today's adherence to Judaism, our English Bible editors have removed the name of Yahweh and put, quote, "the Lord," L-O-R-D in all caps, in its place. What does Scripture say about taking away and adding to the word of Yahweh? We read about that in Deuteronomy 4, verse 2. "You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim, which I command you." Very clearly, Yahweh wants us to keep his commandments. And keep, as we'll talk about later, doesn't mean just hold on to them, but it means to protect them so that you might do them. In Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 and 6, every word of Eloah, which is a single form of Elohim, every word of Eloah is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. So any attempt to change the word of Yahweh to alter its meaning or to add to or take away is an act of lying. It's an act of false witness. And false teachers do this all the time. Specifically, what does Exodus 20, that's a section of the Ten Commandments, verses 4 through 5 say about mighty ones other than Yahweh? It says, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, Yahweh, Elohecha," as it reads in Hebrew, which means your mighty one, "am a jealous El, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me." Those who hate Yahweh and his son Yahshua are they that reject their, Yahweh and Yahshua's, will and do as they please. Therefore, who are they that honor and keep and obey their commandments? 23 times in the law and the prophets, Yahweh commands his people to love, to quote, "love me and keep, perform, walk in, remember," which in Hebrew, we translate the phrase into the word "remember," but it means to speak and act in behalf of. "Do what is right in my sight, follow me, return to me, and earnestly obey my commandments." 3 times in the New Testament, John quotes Yahshua, stating in John 14, John 14, verse 15 and verse 21. I'm reading this without putting it up on the screen. "If you love me, keep my commandments." This is Yahshua speaking. "He who has my commandments," in verse 21, "he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." And in John 15, verse 10, it reads, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." It's clear that in many, many ways throughout the scripture, we are commanded to keep the commandments of Yahweh as Yahshua taught us to. To whom are we to pray? In Matthew 6, verses 6 through 9, we read, "But you," this is Yahshua speaking, "but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do." Now, the three English words, "use vain repetitions," is the Greek word, so one word for our three, it's the Greek word batologio, meaning to babble, rant, jabber, stutter, talk gibberish, or, as some Englishman probably wrote, prate tediously. Continuing on in the verse, "For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And continuing with the Master's prayer, the Yahweh's prayer. In 1 Peter 2, verse 5, we read, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Yahweh through Yahshua, Messiah. Communication with Yahweh is through prayer. When we worship and when we pray, what chain of command are we required to go through? We see the answer in John 14:6. Yahshua said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He is the way, he is the path, and he's walking on it, and we are to follow him in all the things that he did to the best of our ability. He is the truth. And people in the world may say, well, what is truth? And the truth is what the scripture says in the name of Yahweh and in the name of Yahshua. Ephesians 5, verse 20. Give thanks always for all things to Yahweh the Father in the name of our Master Yahshua Messiah. Are we to bow down and worship anyone or anything other than Yahweh? Now here, I mean, it's easy to believe that this is simply talking about idols and other deities. And the idea with worship is to honor and to invest all of your time and energy to something that is important to you. So watching sports all the time might be an idol for you, or eating might be an idol. Committing sexual inappropriate behavior could be an idol for many, many people. Alcohol, drugs are idols to an amazing number of people in this society. They essentially worship these things. And these two count, I believe, against us and fit into this category of bowing down and worshiping anything or anyone other than Yahweh. In Exodus 20, continuing or going back in the Ten Commandments, verses 3 through 5, we read, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that which is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, Yahweh, am your Elohim. I am a jealous El, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me." In Exodus 23, verse 24, we read, "You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor," and this is extremely important for the whole world to understand, "nor do according to their works, but you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars." Do not do according to their works. And what do we see in our society? Do we see people honoring Yahweh's celebrations, his feasts, his set-apart times, his holy convocations? Typically, we see people honoring other deities by honoring the days upon which they were born, the days in which they have come to life, and that those things have been incorporated into the beliefs of many who are seeking to honor Yahweh and Yahshua, although they may not know even their names. It's tragic when people bow down to a fir tree or color eggs, which are their ancient pagan practices that cannot be sanctified. They cannot be baptized so that they're okay. People have acted with the power of Satan, I don't know how else to say it, to falsify the word of Yahweh and create doctrines that belong to the nations, speaking as if they're representing the Messiah and our Heavenly Father. But It's our plea that you consider these things and recognize that you have been taught things that are in error. Don't take our word for it. Read the scriptures. See if there's anywhere in the scripture that talks about celebrating the Messiah's birth or New Year's on January 1st. Also, see if there's anything in scripture that talks about Palm Sunday or Easter Sunday. They are replacements. Each of them are 8 days long, the same as the feast days of Yahweh. They are replacements. And if you choose to believe that the word of Yahweh has been replaced, then it would be best if you considered leaving that realm. My opinion. Worshippers of the sun gods Nimrod, Tammuz, Zeus, Mithra, and Baal honored their deities with festivals in their names. They honor each of these gods as being born 4 days after the winter solstice, which happens on the calendar that we use, which is the Gregorian Catholic calendar, on December 21st. That's the winter solstice, when the sun is the lowest in the sky. 4 days later, on what we know as December 25th, there is evidence that the sun is being reborn. And so they celebrate these deities as sun gods being born on December 25th. And the Catholic Church, who has syncretized the pagan ideas with the scripture, honor the Messiah on the day of the sun god's birthday. They declare this to be the birthday of, quote, Jesus Christ. And 8 days later, Catholics and Christians celebrate the non-biblical New Year on January 1st. Sun worshipers, sun god worshipers, also honored Isis, Ishtar, Asherah, and Easter as goddesses of fertility, female companions to their male counterparts. At the spring equinox, which is astronomically March 21st, the same date from which Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday are calculated by the Catholic Church. In Deuteronomy 12, verses 30 and 32, we read, "Take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them." And then just speaking of the ways of the nations, the way they celebrate their deities, "that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, 'How did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise.' You shall not worship Yahweh your Elohim in that way, for every abomination to Yahweh which he hates, they have done to their gods, for they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it. The above commandments of our Heavenly Father have great implications for the final state of our nation and the world. Many of those who have presumed to teach biblical truths have syncretized Babylonian, Egyptian, Canaanic, and Pharisaic doctrines and rituals with the word of Yahweh. They have blended the Bible with pagan and man-inspired dogma. Many of these doctrines were enforced at a point of a bloody sword, i.e. the Inquisition, which happened all over the world. I remember living in California, studying about Father Junipero Serra, who made all these wonderful missions from San Diego all the way up to San Francisco that were exactly one day's ride apart. If it's so wonderful, why are all the people in that area, the Native Americans who were taken over by the Spaniards, why do they have Spanish names? I doubt if it was voluntary on their part. More likely, they would have preferred to keep their own cultural standards and keep their own names. But we see death and destruction, and one nation overtaking another, killing those who oppose them. That was not taught in the schools in California. We are told that Yahweh is spirit. How are we to worship him then? John 4:24, and this is Yahshua speaking. Yahweh is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And that is his spirit and his truth. Section 10, what or who was the first of Yahweh's creation? Revelation 3:14. And to the messenger of the assembly of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Now, this is an interesting discovery I made, just kind of looking at the Greek underneath it. It is actually a Hebrew parallelism, a poetic device, since Amen, Amen, Amen means faithful and true. So here we have the same idea, repeated. Amen and faithful and true mean the same thing. These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of Yahweh. Who is he speaking of? Yahshua, of course. Colossians 1, verse 15. He, speaking of Yahshua, is the image of the invisible Elohim, the firstborn over all creation. You might wonder, how can a person be an image of an invisible Elohim? Well, Yahweh is spirit. And there was a man who approached Yahshua and asked him to show him the Father. And Yahshua, if you recall, said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Of course, he's speaking not just about the physical image, but the exact character of Yahweh himself. Yahshua had the exact character of Yahweh, and we are to imitate to the best of our ability the things that Yahshua did, all of the things that he did. Who did the actual creating of all things in heaven and earth, both visible and invisible? We find the answer in Colossians 1:16 through 18. For by him, speaking of Yahshua, by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the assembly, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. You see how clear it is that this is speaking about Yahshua and not necessarily about Yahweh. For Yahweh has given Yahshua, his son, all of the power to accomplish all these works. Who is John speaking of in the book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with, and in our English text, we have the word God there, but I put the Greek words there that replace the word God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with ton teon. And the word tone there is the Greek word the. And anytime the word the article the, comes before teos, or teon in this case, it means the Almighty, and that would be Yahweh. It would not be an error, in my opinion, to translate that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh. And the Word was, and that Greek word is teos, which means mighty one. And of course, that refers to Yahshua. When we're speaking in comparison to ton teon, teos is the Son. He is not the Almighty, but he is Almighty. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with ton teon, which I do not believe that it's an error to translate that Yahweh, even though it doesn't say that in the Greek. He was in the beginning with Yahweh. Verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Yahshua made everything. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now, this is not simply trivial information here, because who created man out of the dust of the earth? It was Yahshua. He's the one who created us. He is the one who told Adam to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It is he who spoke to Noah. It was he who spoke to Moses. It was he who spoke to all of the prophets. And if he is speaking to us, it is Yahshua who is speaking to us. And praise his name, which means the salvation of Yahweh. Are the Father and the Son two separate beings? In John 16, verse 28, we read, I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. It's pretty clear. John 5, verse 30, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. It should be abundantly clear, but people get confused all the time, thinking that Yahweh is Yahshua and Yahshua is Yahweh. They are one in character. They are one in their actions. They are one in their love for us. But they are separate entities. They have names. Yahweh and Yahshua. And just to add to that, in Scripture, there is no name for the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he cannot be a personage. The Trinity is a false concept. And I know that that runs contrary to most people's beliefs because it has been so embedded into the belief system of the churches in this land. To believe in three persons, but I cannot find the name of the Holy Spirit. And if you check out Proverbs 30, verse 4, you'll see ample evidence to that. Section 11, in John 10, verse 30, we read, I and my Father are one. Now, some feel this means that they are the same person. In reality, and using the above scriptures along with others, this means they are one in purpose. Are we to have the same oneness with Yahweh and his Son? Well, we read about that in John 17, verses 21 and 22. They that are, and that they all, may be one as you, Father, are in me. And who is John speaking of there? He's speaking the word they. They're speaking of Yahweh's chosen ones. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me. And I in you, that they, speaking of those Yahweh's chosen, the ecclesia, the assembly, also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. So that should be abundantly clear that, especially when Yahshua is talking, speaking and praying to Yahweh about them being one, and using the word us, that's in the text. Matthew 12, verse 50. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. And section 12, besides the Son of Yahweh, which human beings have seen the Father? John 5, 37. And the Father himself this is Yahshua speaking, who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. And it's by this verse that we know that it was Yahshua who basically had the prophets, who created prophets, who spoke to them and had them write down the ideas, the teachings, the instruction of Yahweh. In that verse in John 5:37, it reads, the Father has testified of me. Where? Well, in what we typically call the Old Testament, or the law, the prophets, the writings. In all of those, we find examples of the prophecy of the Messiah. That's what the whole scripture is basically all about. It's about salvation and redemption. But let's move on. In John 6, verse 46, not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from Yahweh. And that would be whom? That would be Yahshua. He has seen the Father. In section 13, in the story of the burning bush, Exodus chapter 3, after Moses was told that he would be going to the Pharaoh of Egypt for the release of Israel, Moses felt the Israelites, actually he believed the Israelites, would ask him who sent him. What reply was given to Moses in Exodus 3:14? And Elohim said to Moses, I am who I am. That's a translation. For the words in Hebrew are Eye Asher Eye. Eye Asher Eye. Which Eye, which we tend to look at in the Hebrew and it would say Haya or Hawe, is actually pronounced Eye. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am, Eye, has sent me to you. Now the phrase translated as I am who I am is translated in other versions as I will be what I will be, I am the existing one, and I cause to be what comes to pass. This gives credence to the following titles of Yahweh found in the Torah, writings, and prophets. The name Yahweh Yireh, which means provider. We find in Genesis 22, verse 14, and Abraham called the name of the place, Yahweh will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of Yahweh it shall be provided. Yahweh Rapha, which means healing or healer. We find that in Exodus 15, verse 26. If you diligently heed the voice of Yahweh, your Elohim, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you, which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am Yahweh who heals you. Yahweh Rapha. Yahweh Nisi, which means my banner. Exodus 17, verse 15, and Moses built an altar and called its name, Yahweh is my banner. Yahweh Kadash, which means he sanctifies. Exodus 31, verse 13, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies you. And I believe that when he says, my Sabbaths, that he is not speaking only of the weekly Sabbaths. He's referring to the holy convocations, the high Sabbaths, or the, they're called Moedim, but they're also called holy convocations. Was that?
Appointed
times, right, exactly. It's an appointed time. It's an appointment with Yahweh, essentially. Yahweh Shalom, which means the sender of peace. We find that in Judges 6:24. So Gideon built an altar there to Yahweh and called it Yahweh is peace, Yahweh Shalom. To this day, it is still in Oprah of the Abiud's rights. Yahweh Sabaoth, translated in English as Yahweh of hosts. We find that in 1 Samuel 1, verse 3. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to Yahweh of hosts, Yahweh Sabaoth, in Shiloh. Also, the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Pinchas, the priests of Yahweh, were there. Yahweh Zidkenu, in Jeremiah 23, verse 6, in his days Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Okay, Judah and Israel. This is referring to the house of Judah and the house of Israel. Many people do not understand that the house of Judah and the house of Israel is prophesied to be brought back together so that there are, so that the 12 tribes of Jacob Israel will be one. And we, of course, read in the book of Revelation that there are 12 gates, and above each gate is the name of the sons of Jacob, the sons of Israel, the Israelites. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, Yahweh our righteousness. Yahweh Shema, Yahweh is there. Ezekiel 48, verse 35, all the way around shall be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that day shall be Yahweh is there, Yahweh Shema. Yahweh Elyon, Yahweh Most High. Psalm 7, verse 17, I will praise Yahweh according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of Yahweh Most High, Yahweh Elyon. Yahweh Roy, or Yahweh is my shepherd. Psalm 23, verse 1, a psalm of David, Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yahweh Roy. So in summary, the name of our Heavenly Father is Yahweh, who will exist for all times and whose name is to be praised and even sung and shouted. Only his son Yahshua, the first of all creation, has seen him. For Yahshua is Yahweh's spokesman and mediator who teaches us that we are to communicate with Yahweh through prayer. At the burning bush, the angel of Yahweh identified Yahweh to Moses as I am who I am. Also translated, I am the existing one and I will be what I will be. Yahweh is to be revered or feared, which is the beginning of knowledge. As long as we serve him, walk in all his ways, and love him, we can expect to have our days prolonged. L'chaim, to life. By creating an intimate relationship with Yahshua, we become one with him. In the same way that Yahshua is one with Yahweh, we are all of one purpose, to worship and to do the will of Yahweh, to love him and love our fellow mankind. Yahweh is a father figure to the fatherless and the orphans. To be called the child, or to be called children of Yahweh, we must obey Yahweh's commandments. He's our father, which his son taught by example. And we must believe on the name of Yahshua, doing one or the other. Just believing or doing the works will not suffice for entrance into the kingdom. We must believe that Yahshua is the son of Yahweh, and that Yahweh has given us commandments that we must obey and endure with to the end. We are not to ruin the name of Yahweh by worshiping other deities or following the precepts of other religions on pain of separation from the people of Yahweh. We are not to make or serve a graven image, but to worship Yahweh in spirit and in truth. And as long as we do not forsake or leave Yahweh, he will keep his promises. Religion that Yahweh, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is to look after the orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. We are to keep ourselves free of any of the entrapments of false religion. Hallelujah.